the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, when we do Exploring the Word, we end each show with questions. But today, I want to start out with one. And here it is. What do the Ark of the Covenant, Table of Showbread, Lampstand, Bronze Altar, Altar of Incense, and Laver have in common? Well, if you said they were furniture that would be in the tabernacle, you are right. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you today on Exploring the Word. And we're in the book of Exodus. Now, we're in chapter 26, but we may turn to and fro here today looking at the furniture because you find it in different sections, but you'll see you can follow along. But it's good to have Alex back with us. Alex, we prayed for you yesterday. We let our people know you were struggling with your throat and all this stuff. How are you feeling today, brother?
Well, much, much better. I know I probably don't sound all that great, but I appreciate everybody's prayers. And just, we had a really great time in Oklahoma, and people drove from out of state. And so I stood and talked to 100 people and kind of got laryngitis. And the thing is, Bert, we have this wonderful phenomenon down south called pollen. You ever heard of that?
Listen, this morning, one of my vehicles, I'm having it in the shop today, and I let it set out for 3 days and not drive it. When I got into it, it's normally kind of golden beige. It was yellow, Alex. Yellow. You know, yeah. The pollen, well, man.
I know. Well, we had a pretty big rainstorm night before last, and I mean, waves of yellow water were running down the street. But, yeah. You know, I feel good. I just had a sinus thing and put in a pretty full weekend, so I apologize for my hoarseness.
Well, we played a pre-record Monday. And then Jeff Shambly helped us yesterday and did a great job. Jeff is just a great pinch hitter. I don't call him yes. substitutes. I call he and Jim Stanley our pinch hitters. But I wanted to do something today. I know we covered chapter 25 yesterday, and there's two articles, or really three articles, that we talked about. And we talked about the Ark of the Covenant. Then we talked about the Table of Showbread and the Lampstand. But, Alex, as I was looking at this, I said, you know, when you look at the tabernacle, you have the outer court, then you have the holy place, and then you have the most holy. And so there's three, you would call it three compartments, but two of those are inside what you would call the outer tabernacle. And then you have six articles of furniture that God gave Moses to let them make in order to accomplish this great, I would say, great architecture. Although it's a tabernacle, movable, but it's still amazing. And so I wanted to cover that a little bit with you today, if you don't mind, because I know good and well, man, when you talk about the Ark of the Covenant, we're talking about one of the Old Testament great, great representations of the mercy of God. And let me bring this in, and then I want you to comment on it as much as you can. I'm going to try to carry most of the load today, so and save your voice for that which is just so impactful. But I did want to say this, and this is a little bit of going backward, but again, I wanted your comment. In chapter 25, verse 22, it says, "And there I will meet with you. I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, of all the things which I give you in commandments to the children of Israel." Alex, that verse, I've got, as I said, I've got an asterisk by it, I've got it underlined, and I've got it highlighted. I don't want to miss it. I will meet with you where? At the mercy seat. Aren't you glad that's where he meets us?
Well, you know, just imagine that Almighty God says to we fallen sinners, "I want to meet with you." Isn't that amazing?
It is. It really is.
And remember Jesus told the woman at the well, "The Father seeketh such to worship him." And to everybody listening, God, your maker, who loves you, wants to meet with you. Isn't that just beautiful that God would desire a relationship with us?
And one of the titles of the tabernacle is the tent of meeting.
Amen.
And that's just, if we could understand how beautiful that is, and it's also talking about its picture, prophet of Jesus Christ coming, Emmanuel, God, what? With us. In other words, what? Meeting with us. And then also, we'll get to it in a few minutes, the Holy Spirit of God, even in the tabernacle of the oil that would light the lampstand, the Holy Spirit of God. But the second one that I wanted to talk about, and if you want to say more, you can, but again, is the table of showbread. We find this in chapter 25 as well. And honestly, the bread there, 12 loaves, but it was a picture of God's provision. Listen, each one of these pieces of furniture, you can, it's not spiritualizing to take it back to Christ, each one of them. And here is his provision. God has always, he provided them water in the wilderness. He'd provide for them manna there in the wilderness. He would provide guidance there. But God is a God of provision, isn't he?
Well, he really is. He is. And, you know, what's interesting, and we're going to see this in chapter 26, the cherubim that are woven on the inside of the curtains. A lot of this you only saw from the inside of the tabernacle.
Amen.
And there's just things about God's love, God's provision, that you just cannot know till you're born again.
Yeah,
you know?
Remember,
it said, the carnal man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. Bert, I found out at 21, Christianity goes so much better when you're a Christian.
It makes a big difference, doesn't it, Alex?
You know, suddenly I wanted to go to church.
Yeah.
I wanted to read the Bible. But yes, the table of showbread. And Jesus said, I'm the bread of life.
Amen.
So it does depict God's provision, doesn't it?
It does. Now, the next one, and we find this in chapter 25 as well. Again, we studied some of this yesterday, but I just wanted Alex, because it's just so beautiful. The lampstand. Okay, just as the Ark of the Covenant is God's grace and mercy, table of showbread is God's provision, the lampstand, the light. Jesus is the light of the world, and what would be the fuel for that light? Oil, the Holy Spirit. Alex, beautiful picture again of Christ, but also I think the ministry of the Holy Spirit as well.
I want to challenge all the Sunday school teachers and ministers, preach on the wilderness tabernacle.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a picture of the gospel, isn't it, Bert?
It is. And I've pastored in the same church for, close to 30 years, okay? And I was ministering music there, so I had messages that I'd preached during that period of time. You can imagine my files of sermons that I have. And I've looked back on it. Yes, tabernacle. Listen, I want to just tell you, Jesus Christ, I remember others have said it, but you'll find Jesus on every page. I just want to tell you, when you come to the book of Exodus, it is amplified how many times you see Christ. But he is the lampstand. He is the light of the world made out of gold. And Jeff was telling us yesterday, and you see that, it'd be 75 pounds. And if I remember correctly, what that would cost today is close to $3.5 million, Alex, for that one piece of furniture in our today's economy. But again, the intricate detail, that's one more thing I wanted you to comment. How much the intricate detail of each one of these, it wasn't one that they'd just throw together, but it was something that they would use. And again, we see, I want to go back, it talks about the offering they said in chapter 25, but they also going to talk about the artisans that had to make this. So when Moses got the detail, he knew who to take it to and tell them the instructions. And then those who were made it, God would use them. And it says, with all their wisdom. Listen to chapter 28, verse 3. The reason I bring up this now is because when it came to that lampstand, man, it was so intricate. But listen to 28, verse 3. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with a spirit of wisdom. Alex, it wasn't just ability, but it was also the spirit of God working and giving them wisdom. Isn't that a great combination?
Oh, it is. And God still uses that combination today. And, you know, I love to recommend books, and we're in Exodus 25, going to get to 26. But did you ever see this book? It's a classic by A.B. Simpson. He was the founder of the CMA, Denomination Christian Missionary Alliance. Wonderful group of folks. But he wrote a book called Christ in the Tabernacle.
Oh, man. Yes. Bert, yes. Did you ever hear that? Yes, I did. Yes.
Folks, if your church library, if your church has a library, that book is probably in there, but that is a fantastic book. But see, this is a foreshadowing, isn't it, Bert? Wouldn't that be fair to say?
Yes, it is. It's a perfect word of it. Now, some, when I see it all, some you say, okay, yeah, I see that. I think you would have to be blind spiritually not to see this, how this is pointing exactly to who Christ was and what he would do, and all of that. Again, the bread of life, the light of the world, this is Jesus Christ. Now, chapter 26 begins with the curtains of linen, and I know that, and we'll come back to that. But Alex, real quickly, I'm going to take this in chapter 27. We have the fourth. It's the bronze altar. Now, the bronze altar was that you would find, and again, it was on the outside. It was on the outer court. Two of them on the outer court. You had three that was in the inner court, and then one in the Holy of Holies. And this is the first one that you would come to, but it has the idea of sacrifice. Again, Jesus being the sacrifice, but also when you see how what all it took, it was also a sacrifice of praise to the people to being able to give this to build it. It was a sacrifice. Is anything worth doing worth making a sacrifice for?
Well, I will not give him that which cost me nothing.
Amen.
I think anything we sacrifice in gratitude to our Savior is just worth it, and we should be willing. That's why getting up and going to church on Sunday morning and tithing and witnessing and doing the work of intercession, prayer, and Bible study. I mean, we are to salvation is a free gift, but our Christian growth and service, it should cost us something. But, in 26, okay, this whole section, 25 through 28, is that the people of God are in personal daily relationship with the I Am.
Amen.
I mean, that's just beautiful. But in 26, well, the outer coverings and what's on the inside, we'll talk about that after this break.
We really will. This is Exploring the Word. And again, we're jumping around a little bit because of the furniture, because of everything. So if you have your Bible, you can follow along. But if not, I think you can hear us. We'll be back with more of Exploring the Word right after this break. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding, and preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget, as they rescue over 200 babies every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. Please sponsor A Precious Baby's Life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies. So be generous. You'll never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by.
Hallelujah. I hope that's your song. I want to just tell you, that has happened to Bert Harper. God has forgiven me of sin. He has brought me further in His Word than I could ever dream. I hope you know Christ is your Savior, you who are listening. I want to tell you, it's the greatest adventure you could ever be on. He's the best friend that you could ever have, and He has a place for you. One of the things that you love, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Now, I want to just tell you, that's enough for me after anything. If He's prepared it, listen. Alex, and again, I could go on like that, but I do love that song. But we're in chapter 26, and again, Alex is with us today, and keep praying for him that he would improve. You can hear his voice and see that crispness in his voice, but he's doing strong. But in chapter 26, again, it gives you all the details. He gives him how the curtains are to be made, what they're being made out of, what the poles are to be made out of, what the loops are to be made out of, and all the things that go in it. But again, and I'm going to read this, and then you talk about it any way you want, Alex, in chapter 26, verse 31. You shall make a veil woven of blue and purple and scarlet yarn. If you remember, that was some of the offering they took up at the beginning of chapter 25, and fine linen, and it shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. Now, Alex, again, the detail is so real, and listen to verse 33, and I'm going to throw it to you. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there, behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy place. You shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony of the most holy. Alex, wow, I can't get over the detail. I get excited about the details in the creation story. You know, he made the air before the birds, the water before the fish. Everything was, he did it in pattern. He did it that way. But here in the tabernacle, the detail, it's just amazing beyond measure. And chapter 26 is one of those that says that, and you led us up, and I want you to comment on it, some of the things you could only see from the inside. Talk a little bit about that, brother.
Well, it is magnificent. And Bert, of all the heavenly creatures, and there's angels and fallen angels, guess in the Bible the heavenly creature mentioned more than any other starts with the letter C.
Amen.
It's cherubim.
Cherubim.
91 times the Bible mentions cherubim. And, you know, I believe we'll see them in heaven. But you remember the cherubim, when Adam and Eve fell, guarded the way to the tree of life. And the cherubim seem to always represent God's authority and God's power. And inside this tabernacle, on these curtains made of goat's hair, and I mean, just imagine the artistry and the skill and the meticulous way they made all these details. But this, you know, fine woven linen had on the inside designs of the cherubim, and within all this is the Ark of the Covenant. These golden winged creatures that God created. And it's very specific. And, you know, Bert, the making five curtains, and each one was 42 feet long and, you know, 6 feet wide. I just don't know that we completely understand all the implications of Christ and salvation, even though some are pretty clear.
It is. And again, the details are there, and they're beautiful. And remember, now I want to bring this back up because I think it is important. In chapter 25, verses 1 through 7, when they took up that offering, God had not told them, Alex, what he was going to do with it yet. And I think about today's building programs. Okay, before we take this offering, we've got a drawing, we've got a rendering, we've got the design, we want you to know. But they did this by faith, and they did it willingly with their heart. And then God was able to take what they gave and do something amazing with it. And that's exactly what he wants to do in our lives. He'll take us and do. You and I have talked about this, and I think it's time for a little testimony here. Alex, you know, you desired to be on the radio, but I remember your testimony, and I'm going to tell a little bit. But when you started searching what all you would need, all the finances you would need, and you said, okay, I can't do that. It's not there. And then Tim Wildman and Jim Stan, they come to you and say, hey, Alex, how would you like to be on the radio? And you had already done the research. You knew how much it cost. You said, I don't have that. And they said, oh, no, we're not talking about that. We've got an hour every day, Monday through Friday, for you to be able to share the Word of God through AFR. And
oh, my goodness.
Alex, and then me, I was on the board, spent, you know, like 28 years, already mentioned to that, pastoring a church, you know, preaching through the Bible, dealing with people's issues, praying with people. He brings me to AFR, and God teams us up, and now it's been a 13-year, and we talk about this privilege that we have that brings on great responsibility that we have before us. And so God, if you'll give yourself to him, I want to tell you, you can trust him to do something with it, can't you, Alex?
Absolutely. And you know, next week is going to be Share-a-thon. And seriously, I had been approached by four or five major radio networks, and they said, hey, Alex, we want to put you on the radio, and it'll only be $1.2 million a year. And I was like, yeah, thanks anyway. And so, yes, it's been an incredible partnership and going strong, and it's just only growing and growing. And, you know, as we look at all these details, I'm going to pull something out here. You know, God tells them, you know, make these curtains and make these poles and bind these curtains together with gold rings. And just imagine that. And it was portable. They could take it down and set it up. But I love this, Bert, because, you know, we're the body of Christ, right? And the Bible talks about a house fitly joined together. There's male Christians and female. There's people from all different cultures. But we come together in the unity of Christ. And Bert, have you looked at all these numbers?
Yeah, well, every listen.
50 yeah. loops in yes. verse 4. Now, in verse 6, and I'm going to, well, let me comment on something. There's a word I've got to find, Bert, about when all these fabrics and things are joined together. And it says, put the clasps that it all may be one. Couple the tent together.
That's it.
That it
verse
may
six.
Be one.
That's
in
it.
In verse 6.
That's it.
God wants his body of believers to be unified, doesn't he?
He really does. And you love that. I love the church at Antioch. When you see those five leaders that were teaching and preaching, and you look at their names, and you know they're from different cultures, they're different ethnicities, You see that in their names, and they've come together, and they're ministering in the Lord at the church in Antioch. And when Barnabas comes up and he sees what God is doing, man, he joins them. He doesn't go back to Jerusalem. He decides to stay up there. And God made this, and it's kind of a shift, Alex, from Jerusalem all of a sudden to Antioch, where the gospel is going to go out to the from there to the world through Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas and John Mark, and they would make that difference. And here, because what? They were one. The church at Antioch, they had these things, and it was a beautiful, beautiful relationship. And I agree with you. That is perfect. One more thing, what it says, and we find this as God is doing it in chapter 26. Again, the division between the holy place and the most holy place. Let me see. What happened on the day that Jesus was crucified? Did something happen to that curtain that divided that?
It got torn from top to bottom, didn't it?
Now, who's tall enough to reach? We've seen how tall they are, right?
Yeah.
And you've mentioned that. Man, somebody had to get a ladder or something to tear it, didn't they? Or did it, some miraculous thing happen?
An invisible hand.
Yeah.
And isn't it something, okay, when Christ is on the cross and, you know, we're coming up on Easter. I just love Easter. Of course, I love Christmas too. But the plan of salvation is from heaven to earth. And that curtain tore from top to bottom. It was not initiated by man. And, you know, Bert, I was in one of my very first debates at a college, and a professor said, well, you know, religion is the story of man reaching up to God. And I said, well, that may be, but the Christian gospel,
amen,
is the story of God in love coming down to rescue fallen humanity.
Hallelujah, Alex. One more thing in this chapter. You may have something that I wanted to know, that I noticed. Notice it's not just the intricate detail, but the intricate direction. Direction. Look at verse 35. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. And each one of them, the direction God gave. I just want to tell you, it's not just who you are and the gifts you have. It's where God places you. And that's why it's so important. We find that on the second missionary journey, especially Paul was wanting to go further north into Asia, what we call Asia Minor, Turkey today. And God says, no, nope. The Holy Spirit hindered him. He said, stopped him. And that night he heard the Macedonian call saying, come over here. Now, Alex, I just could not help. And you said it earlier. You said this is portable or mobile. I see it also, and I mentioned it yesterday, this shows the missional purpose of God. You know, that when people would see this tabernacle traveling, leading these people, and then at night set in the middle and the glory shining over it, those that would look from a distance, I think they'd do like Moses did about the burning bush. I'm going to come aside and see what this is all about. So even in this, God's mission is to let the people know of who he is. Do you believe that is part
Absolutely.
Of that as well?
Have you ever seen this famous painting of the tabernacle, and it's at night, and there's all
this? Yes.
And the Shekinah glory
Amen.
Of God appears above the Holy of Holies.
This is it. And so what God wants you to do now in the New Testament, since Jesus Christ was the supreme sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, there's no need of more sacrifice to the Lord except we give ourselves to him. But let me just share with you, that middle wall of partition, as it is called, has been torn down so you can have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. That's available to those of you who are listening who have never come to know Christ as Savior. You can say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I know I have nothing to offer you. I can't buy it. I can't earn it. And so I'm asking you to come into my life. I know Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that. I receive that. And I ask him to forgive me my sin. And as I turn away and I ask you to come into my life, forgive me my sin and dwell in my life now and forever. I'm yours. Alex, I know you did that as a 21-year-old. I did it as a 12-year-old. You don't have to say those exact words. I can't remember every word that I prayed when I was 12 years old. But I tell you what, I remember the time, you know, that he came and invaded my life. And so even in the tabernacle, we see that, that God, and go back, he wants to meet with us. He met with them. He still has that same desire today to meet with us, doesn't he?
He does. And the first place they probably, as far as I can tell, set up the tabernacle was at Gilgal. You know,
right.
They camped there. And they were there 7 years. Now, setting this up and taking this down would have been a big deal. But I want to say this. No matter where they were on their 40-year journey, it would work. They would set it up and be in obedience. And Bert, I was reading a secular book about world religions. And they said, even a secular book said that Christianity works in every culture. You know, really pure Islam that's under Sharia, it doesn't work in the 20th or 21st centuries. And wherever Islam is enforced, it's like set your watch back 1,000 years, you know. But just as the gospel, it works in sub-Saharan Africa, it works in New York City. The Christian worldview, it betters the life of people everywhere it's followed. This wilderness tabernacle was mobile, and it worked in every locale.
Amen. It does. And that's what the book of Acts is about, the power of the gospel over every barrier. And it's social, it's geographical. Alex, you're exactly right. Whoever said that's exactly right. Listen, Jesus Christ, he wants to save you. He wants to use you for his glory. And it's the most satisfactory world you'll ever be in, knowing Christ. 888-589-8840 is the number. If you have a Bible question, give us a call today.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
Brent, you just put the two songs on me. It's hard for me to stop them. I want to hear all of them.
I'm just knocking it out of the park.
You are. Listen, I'm going to use an old phrase, Alex. If that doesn't light your fire, your wood is wet. Okay? I love that song. Thank the Lord for that writing. That number, if you have a phone question, you can call us, 888-589-8840. But we're going to go to the phone lines right now, and we've got people that have called in. We think we'll have room for more if you have a Bible question, and we'd love to talk with you today. But first, let's go to the great state of Texas and talk to Olin. Olin, thank you for calling.
Bert, Alex, I want to thank you. I called in the other day, and I got into the Word like you asked me to. And God is my refuge. Count it all joy when I'm tempted because of who I am. And God, to me, is like a newborn baby with a baby blanket. He surrounds us all the time. He's always there. And I want to thank you, and I want to pray for you, Alex, to get your voice back. God is working through y'all men so much, and I just want to thank you and God bless you.
Oh, thank you. God bless you so much.
Amen. Let me just tell you, I had a funeral that I did Monday, and I was there, and here's what got me, Alex. Some of the young people that were young people when I was youth minister was there, and they was telling me, said, man, we get to hear you on AFR. We listen to you. And I was their youth minister 40 years ago. And Alex, now they're, you know, what a privilege it is. And they said, man, it's an encouragement that, and part of the encouragement is those of you, stay with the stuff. Let's stay with Christ. Finish well. And like Vance Havener, he says, man, let's get home before dark. What he was talking about, he Amen. Said, stay faithful to the end. So, Olin, thank you for that. But the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is able to do what God sent it forth to do, and he'll do it. Well, let's go to Georgia and talk to James. James, thank you for calling today.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet, brother. Go right ahead.
Okay. I have a – oh, by the way, C.C. Winans is definitely one of my favorites.
Listen,
and she that can, song you played.
Yeah, and she wasn't the originator of that song, but – when they found out she could sing it, they recorded it, and how powerful it is. You're right, James. Go ahead, brother.
Yep. Okay. I had a question about the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. I'm not a Greek scholar by any means. I do get around, and Bible helps, especially in the Greek language. I want to confirm something. When in the temple of the Holy Spirit, as the Bible, New Testament teaches, we are as Christians. It's a Greek word, naos, and I'm assuming that you're aware of that. And also in the Septuagint, and you look up in the Old Testament, I think in Exodus 16, 17, no, Leviticus 16 or 17, where they're talking about the tabernacle, that most holy place has that same Greek word, naos. Would I be correct?
Alex, your memory is better than mine on that. I know that far as the Greek, but do you know about the Septuagint, the translation Septuagint?
I'll have to look that up. I would be sure it's the same word, you know, really. Now, is it N-O-U-S?
James, do you know how did you spell that? No, you enunciated it. You got the spelling?
N-A-O-S, naos.
N-A-O-S, Alex.
Let me look that up and get back to you on that.
Yeah.
But generally, like if you look at Strong's Concordance or something, it generally to a T follows the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament. that was translated from Hebrew to Greek, 200 years before the life of Christ.
Amen. James, keep studying, brother. This is awesome to do. Here's what we love to do. Well, not only we do love to take scriptures, but Alex and I love to equip you to do that as well. And having those helps like Strong's Concordance and Unger's Bible, Bible Dictionary, others, it will be a tremendous help to you. Thank you, James. Let's go to Maryland and talk to Edgar. Edgar, thank you for calling.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
You bet, man.
I'd like to know if anybody's ever speculated with Paul and what he had to put up with. If he hung around with Dr. Luke, Dr. Luke would have had a lot of knowledge with the Egyptians and what they did with bodies. Has anybody ever speculated maybe what Paul had was gallstones, the thorn in the flesh, or stone in the flesh?
Listen, it has been circulated a lot. Alex, Edgar, the one that I seen that to me makes the greatest sense is an issue of the eyes, because several times he would say, you see how large, and it wasn't necessarily a letter, but his signature to it, and because he always had, they called it amanuensis back then, or a secretary that was, he was dictating it to, and then, but we don't know for sure. I think God really, Alex, do you think he personally let that go so that we would not let anything that we have be an excuse, you know?
Yeah, and this is in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, but, God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And it is for us too, isn't it?
It really is. His grace is sufficient. Listen, we can't resist temptation, but through the power of God, we can do that. The Bible talks about that. Listen, we're weak. The only power we have is through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, hiding God's word in our heart. That's what the Bible says. Hide my word in your heart that you might not sin against me. Listen, we have the two greatest, defenders of us not giving in the word of God and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, Alex. So I believe that with all my heart. Well, thank you, Edgar. Let's go to Arkansas. Kirk, thank you for calling.
Hey, yes, sir. Well, I hope Alex gets to feeling better. He don't sound too good on here. I hope he gets to feeling a little better. We'll be praying him up.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I had a question. I got a D group in my church, and, we study the Bible. And right now we're in Samuel, and it's about where Saul conjured up, I guess it was, the deceased prophet Samuel, and asked him, fortune teller, I guess, which the Mosaic
witch
law,
the witch of Endor. Go ahead. Yeah, that's it, Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, was that really, did God let him really come back like that? Or is that just, was it just something made up or what? I'm just trying to figure that out. And then also I'm trying to figure out who wrote the book of Samuel.
Okay. Alex, did Samuel write Samuel, or was that possibly an unknown author?
Well, ultimately, the Holy Spirit wrote it, I don't know that we completely know the human penman, but, this is in 1 Samuel 28, Saul did something very disobedient. He went to a witch. Can you believe that? And I don't know. I do think for this one special circumstance, Saul actually spoke, because Samuel spoke, and Samuel really gives a bad warning to disobedient King Saul, and you get the impression that the witch was surprised.
It really does. Let me make this and see if you agree with it. Don't talk a long time about it, Alex, because we want to save your voice for one or two more questions here. An event doesn't necessarily make a pattern. So here, Jesus walked on the water. How many times? Far as we know, that one time. It doesn't make. Now, he would heal There were some patterns in that concerning faith, and I know that. But this is an event, I think you're exactly right, that God intervened at a certain time to make this take place. And does that set a pattern? Does that mean we need to seek that? I don't think it does mean that. I think you need to, when you look at the pattern of the scriptures, I think that would explain that, Alex, and I hope it does. So, Kirk, thank you for calling. Let's go to Ohio, and it's Lawrence. Lawrence, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. This is Lawrence.
Yes, go right ahead, brother.
Okay, thank you. I was just calling to pray for Alex.
Okay, man.
Thank you.
He does sound under the weather.
Yeah. Hey, he does. His voice is that way, but you can also tell his energy. It's draining him. But, man, Alex, thank you for putting through the effort. And, Lawrence, thank you for praying for him. Would you do that right now, brother?
Yes. Yeah, I'd love to. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing Alex. We thank you for watching over his life and his health. And we thank you for especially watching over his family. And we really, truly appreciate his efforts, his efforts and his ministry. And we thank you for him coming back from this illness. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. That means the world to me. Thank you.
And praying for Angie, I want to tell you, Alex and I can tell you, if it were not for our better halves, known as our wives, we wouldn't be able to do anything like we're doing. But thank God for what God has done. Thank you, Lawrence, for doing that. You've blessed me by praying for Alex. Amen. I want you to know. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Sarah. Sarah, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I love your show. My question is about the period after Noah, but before Abraham. And the reason I even have this question is I was reading in Genesis in chapter 4, and it said something about that time men began to call upon the name of the Lord. But I think that when God called Abraham, that was a new thing. I was just wondering if anybody was calling upon the name of the Lord between Noah and Abraham.
Well, let me just say this. The event of Noah and then the event of Abraham and then God coming to them, I want to tell you, yes, that was significant. But when you look at some of the sons that are mentioned here in chapter 10, Alex Hams is pretty rugged, you know what I mean, of his ancestors.
Yeah.
But yet when you see some of these, you know, it doesn't have a lot to say about them. But I can't help but, you know, the Bible doesn't necessarily say yay or nay, but there seems to be, you know, some of these who had names that, maybe they were calling on the Lord, but many of them were not. Go ahead, brother.
Well, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God put eternity in our hearts. And, you know, even though the revelation of God to the human race was progressive, you know, God was working on the plan of salvation. Jesus represents Noah's Ark, the Ark of Salvation. But, you know, the Genesis 4:26 verse, people begin, it really means people begin to worship the Lord, you know? And I think that's just part of the human heart to desire to be right with God.
It is. And I listen, who said the vacuum that's in every man that only God could fill?
Augustine said it, really, and then Blaise Pascal elaborated on it, too.
And I think Ecclesiastes, I mean, that's a picture of that. Well, listen, we've got time, I think, for one more question. It'll be fast. Carol from Louisiana. Go ahead, Carol.
Yes. And, Alex, you've got to get better because I don't say you can say how much worse. But I'm praying for you. I'm praying for y'all, man. Really.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've got a question and a comment after my question, and I know y'all probably have had this, but I hadn't been able to listen to you like I wanted to and everything. But it's concerning Trump. What role do y'all believe Trump is playing in these end times, and what's he having to do with the Bible right now? I know that the Lord chose Nehemiah to build a wall around Jerusalem, and he wanted somebody that wasn't a priest or a politician, and that's what he was.
Okay. So, hey, Carol, I hate to cut you off, but time's running out. I want to make this statement, actually, you can finish it out on it, but I'm telling you, President Trump is giving us as believers, with all my heart, an opportunity to make this time count for God. Whether he fits in or not, he's making that possible with some of his decisions. Alex, take us out, man.
Well, and he's a great friend to Israel, and that's a blessing too, isn't it, Bert?
It really is, all the way. And so we want you to know that, and pray for Alex, pray for Angie. And you, I said he couldn't sound much worse. You should have heard him yesterday, and you would think a miracle has happened to get him talking this way. So, Alex, stay strong, brother, and take care of yourself, and we'll see you tomorrow. And we ask you to keep praying for Alex, and remember, tell someone about exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.